Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Pei Vavam Bet. Yesterday we left off with the Gemara talking about Shalvat Rishayim Sofat HaKala, that the comfort and ease in which Rishayim live in the end will turn out to be a problem. Now it could be a problem for them in the sense that they're taking all their reward in this world and they'll be punished L'atid Lavo. Could be that they are complacent because of the easy life that they lead and therefore they won't do tshuva and so it'll end up being a takala for them. Or as Rashi says over here, they'll give them plenty of time to think up more devious and evil plans, and that's why it's a bad thing that they have an easy life. V'arashut mikaveret et baleha. And being in a position of leadership and power ends up shortening one's life, because we have that example by Yosef, who was not the oldest of the brothers, but passes away first because he was in a position of power. Arum nichnasla varum yetze mimena. Person enters the world naked, and he should exit the world naked. Ulavai shete yitziya kebiya. So halavai, that the way he leaves should be the way that he came in. That is, not only physically that he comes in naked and returns naked, but also from a sense of sin. Person comes in without any sin, and should leave in the same manner without any sin. And that is a maila when a person leaves in that way. And that's what it means, halavai, shetei yitziyah keviyah. And now we have a statement from Rav, which is, Rav, ki havan ofik lemeidan dina. Rav, when he went out to adjudicate a case, amar hochi, this is what he said, b'tzavu nafshelev tala nafik. I'm heading out, putting my life on the line. He's saying that because when he goes out to adjudicate the case, if he gives the wrong psak halacha or he's dan the din incorrectly, he's going to be held responsible for that. V'tzavu beitei leitu avid. And I'm not taking care of the needs of my household. There's nothing here that I'm doing that benefits my household and anything that needs to be done in my household. V'yikan lebeitei azil. And he returns empty-handed to the house because he doesn't get paid for doing this. V'levai shetei biyak yitziyah. And alavai, his return home should be just like the way that he left. Just like when he left, he was not held culpable for any problems. So too, when he returns home, he should not be held culpable for any problems, and he should be done the din in a proper manner. The next piece of the Gemara we'll just read through in a lot of Girsot that does not exist, and it's just an exact repeat of our Gemara just said about Rava. Just Rava, ki havi nofik ledina amar hochi, tzavu nafshe lektala, nafik, v'tzavu beitei leitu avid, v'rikan lebeitei azil, olavai shetei biyah ki yitziyah. Now we have a continuation. If you take that out, the Bach takes it out completely. Then if you say the continuation of Rav, Ki Yahava Hachazi Ambua Abatre, when there was a crowd of people, throngs of people that were coming after him because he was a great individual, Amar, he would say this Pasuk in order to take away any sense of haughtiness that comes from the people gathering around him. And he would say, Im Yalela Shamayim Sio, even if his excellency reaches the skies or the heavens, Rosho the Av Yagia, and his head is in the clouds, Ki Gelo LaNetzach Yoved, in the end, he will be lost like the dung. Ruav Yomru Ayo, and the people who knew him will say, what happened to him? So no matter how high or how great a person reaches, in the end, he passes away, and he's like any other human being. And people in the end will forget him. There's not going to be a permanent memory. Nobody is immortal. And so he said this, Pasuk, in order to remind himself that he's just a mortal being. Even if people are giving him kavod and giving him honor, it shouldn't go to his head. Rav Zutra, ki yava mekatfele b'shabto deriglo, and he used to carry him on the Shabbat regel, havamar, he used to say this. Now mekatfele b'riglo, Rashi describes over here, he was older, and therefore he couldn't really walk to go to the front of the room for the drosha. So the mekatfeles, they used to carry him on their shoulders, but something akin to a rickshaw or a throne of some sort that they used to carry him to the front of the room. And Rashi says, so they won't bother the people to have to stand up. The truth is they have to stand up. If he's moving, they're going to have to stand up anyway. But the idea is that if he walked there, it would take him a long time. He'd have to go through the crowd, and he was older. So it would take a lot of time. He would have to stand for a very long time. In order to expedite the process, what they ended up doing was carrying him to the front. So that, first of all, he was older, he wouldn't have to walk, and he could take him straight up. And number two is, by carrying him up to the front, it would go faster, and people have to stand for such a long time. When they did that, that was a big kavod to him, that people were carrying him across. It looked like he was stepping on the heads of the people as he went to the front. So he used to say this pasuk when that happened. Ki lo leolam chosein. The riches are not forever. Vim nezer dolador bador. The crown, it will not endure forever. So even though now he has a certain amount of kavod, that's not a permanent state. That's not something that he should let go to his mind. Se'et p'nei rasha lo tov. Giving favor to evil people or people who do bad is lo tov, is not good. Lo tov lehem l'rishayim, shenosim lehem panim b'olam hazeh. It's not good for the rishayim that people favor them in this world. Lo tov lo achav, shenosu lo panim b'olam hazeh. It was not good for achav that they let him off the hook in this world. The pasuk says at the end of Melachim Aleph, Shnemar Yan Ki Nichna Mipanai Lo avi ara'a bi'amav. When Eliyahu tells Achav about what Hashem thinks about what Izebel has done and how they had killed Nabot HaKarmeli and all the bad things that they had done, he's nichna, he humbles himself before Hashem and says that he's done wrong. So Hashem says because he humbled himself, he will not bring the evil or the bad in his time. He'd have to wait until the time of his children before this bad happens. So because of that, he postponed the day of reckoning. But by doing that, he didn't have any of his punishment taken out in Olam Hazeh, and it's all going to be waiting for him in the Olam HaBa. Lato Tzadik Bamishpat is the second half of the Pasuk. So it's good that Hashem deprives the Tzadikim of their rightful reward in this world. Because therefore they got all their punishment in this world, and in the Olam HaBa they will get all their reward. It was good for Moshe that Hashem did not reward him in this world. Had they kept their emunah and their faith in Hashem and shown and demonstrated that faith in Hashem, it wouldn't have been their time to depart from the world. They wouldn't have passed away. But because they sinned, they did have to leave the world, but that is their punishment. And then they will be able to reserve all their reward le'olam haba. Ashrehem le'tzadikim. How lucky are the tzadikim? Lo dayan shem zochim elosh mesagim le'bneihem le'bneihem ad sof kol ha'dorot. Not only do they benefit themselves, but they benefit their children and their children's children all the way through to the end of time. In truth, all of Aaron's children were deserving of the death penalty to die by fire. Shenemar hanotarim. When it refers to the children that survived, Elazar and Itamar, it says they are the notarim. Those are those that were left over, residual. Because they should have been killed, but Hashem spared them. Elishamadam zchut avihem. That the zchut of Aaron stood for them and protected them from the fire. Oylehem l'rishayim, lo dayan shemechayvim atzman. It's not enough that they incriminate themselves. Elishamechayvim l'bneihem, l'bneihem atzof l'adorot. But they provide obligations for the rest of their generations. Harbei banim ayu l'kanan. There were many children that Kanan had. Shruim l'samech. They could have had smicho. Ketevi Avdosh Rabbi Gamliel, like the servant of Rabbi Gamliel, which we'll bump into in the next Masechta and Sukkah, and we'll show that he knew halacha, and he was well-versed in halacha, and therefore Rabbi Gamliel treats him in a very special manner, including the Gemara in Brachot says that he was Mikabel Tanchumim. He sat Avelus, in a sense, over Tevi Avdo, even though that was not the normal practice because he was so unique. So despite the fact that there were many individuals like Tavi Avdosh Rabbi Gamliel who were Re'uim Lisameich, that they were of the stature that could have been Tamid Chachamim, Elo Shechuvat Aviyim Garmalem. But why are they an Evid Gnani? Why are they still slaves? It's because of an action or activity of their father, Kenan. Anybody who causes merit for the public at large, then Hashem promises him that he will not sin. Person who causes the public at large, or people in general to sin, Kimat in Maspigim Yado Laso Tshuva. It's almost guaranteed that he will not do tshuva. How come someone who helps other people to do good and grants merit to many others that he will not sin? How could it be that he ends up in Gehinom and all of his students are in Gan Eden? He helped all these individuals out and he made their lives better. Now they're zoche l'olam haba. Meantime, he's in Gehinom. So Hashem says that a chait will not come to him because of that. Hashem will protect him so that he doesn't end up in the wrong place. Shenemar, ki lo tazov nafshi l'sheol. You will not allow my soul to go into the depths. Lo titein chasidecha lirot shachat. You will not let your righteous see the deep pit. I mean, Hashem will protect the tzaddikim and the chasidim who act on behalf of Hashem and are mekadesh shem shamayim and help others to do what's right. Then, as they are successful in helping others to do right, they themselves will also be successful because Hashem will protect them so that we don't have this incongruity where they're in Gehinom and then the people that they helped are in Gan Eden. Here, the Gemara leaves out the word kim'at, but it's interesting. But here, anybody who causes others to sin, he sins, and he pushes others to do that sin. The classic example of that is Yeravam ben Nevat, who put up the Egel in Beit El and in Dan, caused Bnei Yisrael to worship Avodah Zarah, he led them astray. In that case, why will he not be able to do tshuva? Shlo yehu b'Gan Eden v'tamidav b'Gehinom. So that he doesn't end up in Gan Eden because he did tshuva, and everybody that he influenced now is in Gehinom. We can't stand for that inconsistency. Shenemar, Adam ashok b'dam nafesh, a person who is burdened with the blood of others. he's done wrong. Ad bor yanus. He'll run to the pit. Ayit mechubo. Do not support him. Do not help him out. Meaning that we let him fall and we don't help him out. So Hashem will not help out that individual who has blood on his hands or here has sin on his hands because others have sinned because of him. Hashem will not protect him because that would lead to him being in Gan Eden and all those people that he caused to sin to being in Gan Hinnom. So Hashem says, if you walk down that path, it's kimat, a given that you won't do tshuva because you can't help all the people that you caused to do bad. You can't rectify that situation. And if that's the case, it's being unlikely that you're going to succeed at doing tshuva because we don't want the people you influence to be hurt and for you to walk off scot-free. Omer achtave ashuv, achtave ashuv. A person who says, I will sin and then do tshuva, I'll sin and do tshuva. Lamedi demeimar echtave ashuv, echtave ashuv. Shrei zimnei, why do you have to say it twice? Why is that relevant? So the Gemara says, ki Rav Huna Amarav, like we saw yesterday in Rav Huna Amarav's statement, kevan shavar adam avirav shanaba hutralo. So then once a person does an avera once and then repeats it, it's as if it's mutar. Gemara says, hutralo sakadat chon, you mean it's mutar. Elanasi look at there, it's as if it's mutar to him, as we spoke about yesterday. Once a person has sinned, he takes down those inhibitions. The reticence he has to cross that line has been broken down and the lines have been blurred now. And it becomes much easier for him to repeat the sin. He doesn't have those feelings of guilt or those pangs of doing something wrong because he's already done it a number of times. He's inured himself to that feeling and therefore becomes like Heter. It becomes no longer that big mountain that he has to cross, but something that is simple for him to do. Echtav yom ekubrim mechaper and yom ekubrim mechaper. A person says, I'll sin and Yom Kippur will take care of me. It doesn't work. Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rabbi, as we discussed before, that Rabbi believes that itzumoshel yom ekubrim is mechaper, that the day of Yom Kippur itself is mechaper. Detanya, Rabbi Omer, acholei verot shebatara, ben asa tshuva, ben lo asa tshuva, yom ekubrim mechaper. Whether a person does tshuva or not, yom ekubrim is the day of atonement. Carte blanche. It's you're taken care of on yom ekubrim. So why does it matter if he says Echtev Yom Kippurim Ichaper? Why should it matter? Yom Kippur takes care of him no matter what. Afilu Teima Rabbi Agav Shaini. Even according to Rabbi, can fit into our Mishnah because if you precondition your sinning on Yom Kippurim taking care of it, then it's not going to work. Agav, if you place that as the condition for your sin, then even Rabbi will agree that Yom Kippur doesn't work. Yom Kippur works when you've sinned and now you're getting atonement. You sin because you're a human being. You make mistakes. So Yom Kippurim can be Mechaper. It's important to note here, and Rav Soloveitchik in Alei Tshuva makes this distinction, that even Rabbi who believes that Itzumosho Yom is Mechaper, that's the only thing it does. It's Mechaper. It's able to atone. Atonement simply means the word kapara is used in the Mikdash with regards to the utensils that held the blood in them. And they were called kaparot, as Rashi says in the Torah, because the Kohanim used to wipe their fingers on them in order to take the blood off their fingers after they'd sprinkled it. So kapara means to wipe, clean, or to remove. And that's exactly what kapara is. Kapara is to wipe away the punishment, to put a shield up so that you don't get punished for something. But that's all that kapara is. But a chet has an impact on the individual. Not only does it cause them to sin, and therefore they're deserving of onesh, of punishment, and for that they need kapara, it also is mitameh. It defiles them. Sinning defiles the individual, and it hurts the neshama of the individual. In order to attain tahara, the purification, just like when you go to the mikveh, you get tahor, so too, tshuva, with regards to sin, is not only mechaper, but it's also mitaher. It also cleanses and purifies the individual. So even Rabbi, who believes that itzumosho yom ha-kippurim is mechaper, that's all it does. It is mechaper, but it is not mitaher. And a person who gets that atonement of yom ha-kippurim will still have that defilement of the sin with him. And only with tshuva will he be able to remove that tum'ah that entered him and became a part of him because of the sin that he committed. So it's not just that Rabbi believes that, oh, you can sin and there are no problems. There are impacts, there are ramifications of sinning. The only thing that Yom Kippur does, again, if treated properly, we saw before that if you remove yourself from Klal Yisrael and you deny certain of the basic tenets of the faith, then Yom Kippur doesn't work. But if a Jew believes in Yom Kippur and the power of Yom Kippur, it will be mechaper. It will protect him from the punishment, the divine punishment immediately. It'll give him some sort of shield. But he has to use that opportunity in order to be mitaher himself, to do the right thing, and to repent, and to do tshuva, so that the person can return to their former self and not be the person they were before, the sinner that they were before. Avirot sheben adam lemakom. Ramilei Rav Yosef bar Chavu de Rabbi Abau. Avirot sheben adam lechevro Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper. It comes to Averot that are between man and fellow man, Yom HaKippurim doesn't do anything. Va'aktiv. And now they quote a pasuk, which is an extremely difficult pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. It's Eli, when he's speaking to his two sons. He has heard rumors that they are not behaving properly. They are doing terrible things by the Mishkan Shiloh. And Eli comes to chastise them. And he says to them this, Im yachata ish le'ish ufilolo elokim. So now the puzzle continues, we'll read in a second, Vim le'shem yachata ish mit palel lo. The word here, filolo or mit palel, the Rishonim argue about what the meaning of the word is. The word le'falel means to judge. Le'falel we use in the sense of tefillah as mit palel. We use it in the reflexive form, which is to judge oneself. And that's what tefillah is about. Tefillah is a reflection on ourselves vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why tefillah uses that same verb of filolo. So the question is over here, the filolo elukim, who are we referencing? Are we referencing God, who is called elukim? Or are we referencing Elohim, which we just saw in Parshat Mishpatim, is full of this, which is Elohim also means dayan, means a judge. It's also a terminology for people who are of power, and people who are in the position of adjudicating, they're called Elohim too. Because it says, Ad Elohim yavod devar shnehem. When we're talking about a shvua, that you come to Elohim. Elohim doesn't mean God, it means to come to the Beit Din, it means comes to the court. So which one is it over here? And then, Ula filolo also, what is the meaning of filolo here? Does this mean to beseech? Or does the filolo mean to adjudicate? So the Rishonim argue about how to explain the Pasuk. We'll move through here with the way the Gemara explains the Pasuk, but you should know, you should look at the Rishonim over there, the Radak, Mitzuda David. Everybody's challenged with explaining the Pasuk because the same verb is used twice and it's very hard to translate it or explain it the same way in both contexts. But Eli says to his sons, Miyachta ish leish ufilolo elukim. If a person sins to another man, ufilolo akim, God will adjudicate it. So man Elohim dayono. Who are the Elohim here? They are the judges. Ihachim aseifu. What are you going to do with the latter half of the Pasuk? Im lashem yachta ish. If a person sins to God, mit palelo, who will judge him? Is that what you're saying now? So how could you use the word judge in the first half of the sentence and not in the second half? So hachi gamar. So the Gemara reads it this way: Im yachta ish leish ufilolo. If a person sins with another man, ufilolo. The Gemara reparses the pasuk and says ufilolo means that he davens to him, he beseeches him, he speaks to the other man, not to God. Then elukim yimcholo, God will forgive him. Im lashem yachta ish. If man sins to God, meets Baleo Ba'ado, who's gonna intercede on his behalf? Who's gonna beseech God on his behalf? Tshuva u'masim tovim. That will be, tshuva u'masim tovim will be the items, the way that a person beseeches Hashem to forgive them for the sin. So number one, you see here that in order to gain Hashem's mechila, you have to be a filolo between you and the friend, the other person. You have to placate the other individual in order for Hashem to forgive you. That's the way Chazal reading the Pasuk. Again, it's not the simplest way to read the Pasuk. The Pasuk actually, in many senses, is a veiled criticism of Eli. Eli, when he is chastising his children for their behavior which is terrible, adultery and mistreating of the people coming out to Mishkan Shiloh, which are chataim that are ben adam lechaveiro, over here he tells them, listen, when you sin against other people, that can be taken care of. But when you sin against God, then there's no one who's going to intercede on your behalf. There's nobody that can help you. And basically he's saying to them, well, because you're doing this in the Mishkan, in the representatives of God, then there's going to be nobody who can help you because you're sinning to God. But he doesn't focus on the main issue, which is that they have a problem of ben adam lechaviro. And that's the veiled criticism that's really found in the Pasuk, which is, miyachta ish le'ish ufilolo elukim. If a person sins to another man or does wrong to another man, that'll be adjudicated. God or the dayanim, whoever you want to say, will adjudicate the matter. But im lashem yachtaish, if you sin against God, mit palel bado, who can judge him? Who can intercede on behalf of him? The judge is God. And now you're asking God, who you've sinned against, to come be the judge. It can't work. And there'll be nobody intercede on your behalf. And that's how he criticizes his children. And the pasuk ends that Hashem says that his children don't listen to him because Hashem wants to kill his children for the behaviors that they are undertaking. But in a sense, he misses the point, Eli, by criticizing them about their ben adam lemakom and not their ben adam lechaviro. The Gemara reinterprets the Pasuk to say, the only way to attain Mechila from Hashem is to properly placate or beseech your friend who you have wronged. Amar Yitzchak, Kol machnid et chaveiro afilu bidvarim tzarich lefaiso. If a person upsets, offends his friend, even with words, he has to go and appease him and ask him for Mechila. Shenemar, Bini, im eravta l'reyacha, takat l'zar kavecha. If you have become a guarantor to your friend, takat lazarka becha, you open up your hand to someone that you did not know, you now owe them money, then nukashta bimrei ficha, you were trapped by the words of your mouth. There's actually another three words in the pasuk here that should be skipped, which repeats. It's a poetic duplicate of this, the same thing, that you are trapped by what you have said. My son, this is my advice to you, what to do to extricate yourself from that situation, and you will save yourself. Because now you're trapped in the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. And importune or beseech your friend. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here, that the only way to get yourself or extract yourself from something that you've done wrong to your friend, bimrei ficha, with your words, is to go beseech the individual to forgive you. Imamon yesh biyadcha, if you have money in your hands, meaning that you owe them money, you have to pay them. Hater lo pisat yad, then open up your hand to them, which is a play on the word leich hitbra peis, which makes it into an acronym of hater pisat yadcha. Vim lav, if not, harbe olav reim. Then bring lots of friends to him in order to placate him, to beseech him to forgive you. The Gemara learns that from the fact that in the beginning of the Pasuk, Re'acha is written Chaser, and later on, at the end of the Pasuk, Re'acha is written with a Yud, Malay. When you read it Chaser, it means Re'ah Shelcha, means your friend. Whereas if it's Re'acha with a Yud, it means Re'im Shelcha, your friends in plural. And that's what it means. Rahav Re'acha means to have importune. Re'acha means many friends, as you should ask many friends on your behalf to intercede with this individual and help you to win over his forgiveness. Amar Rav Chista, v'tzarech lefaiso b'shalosh shurot sheshlosha bnei adam. When you go to appease him, you have to each time come with three individuals with you, and you have to do it shlosh shurot, you have to do it three times. Shenamar, because it says, yashur al anashim v'yomer chatati. He should assemble a row of individuals and say, I have sinned. V'yashar heviti. And that which is straight, I have perverted. Velo shavali, and I didn't win anything from it, I didn't benefit from it. Basically, you're admitting to doing wrong. As Rashi says, a minimum of a shura is three. So it says over here that you should be yashar anashim, and now it says you say three things. Vayomer chatati, that's one. Yashar heveti is number two. Velo shavali is three. So you make three approaches to the individual with the shura yashur. You make assemble people together and make three approaches to him, and that's how we learn out that three times you approach with three people in order to seek the forgiveness of the individual. I'm Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. When you go to ask for your friend to forgive you, don't go more than three times. Shenemar. Because it says by the brothers, when they approach Yosef to forgive them for selling him down to Mitzrayim at the end of Parshat Vayechi, it says, Ana, Sano, Vata, Sano. So the word Na appears three times. So the Na is a pleading. It's a saying please. So three times the words the word Na to show that three times you beseech of an individual to forgive you. Vimate, if the individual passed away before you were able to seek his forgiveness, adam, bring 10 people, mamidam al kivro, and you stand by his graveside, v'omer, chatati l'Hashem elokei Yisrael v'diploni, I sinned to Hashem and to this individual, shechavalti bo, because I injured him or I damaged him. So it's an important statement over here that there are two parts. Even when one person violates ben adam l'chaviro, it's not simply a sin of ben adam l'chaviro, there's also an aspect of ben adam l'machom. Sometimes we focus so much on the Ben Adam L'Makom, we forget that there's also the Ben Adam L'Chaviro. But it's also true in Ben Adam L'Chaviro, there's also a sin, Ben Adam L'Makom. That's clearly true by Chavalah, which is when you damage or you hurt an individual themselves. With regards to monetary matters, when it comes to, say you damaged his property, if you paid him back, is there any sin, L'Shamayim? That's a question of Machloket that we spoke about in the beginning of Baba Kama, as to whether there is an Isur of being Mazik. Is there a restriction in the Torah, a sin, Ben Adam L'Makom, for damaging, or is it simply a prescription of the Torah? You damage, you pay for it. As long as you paid for it and you've made remuneration for it, then you're off the hook. So here it sounds like Ilonoto mentions Chavalah that there is also a sin, Ben Adam L'Makom, not just the sin of Ben Adam L'Chaviro. Rabbi Yirmiyah Havelei Milto L'Rabbi Abba B'Hadei. Rabbi Yirmiyah knew that Rabbi Abba was offended and he was upset about something with Rabbi Yirmiyah. Azal Eitev Adasha the Rabbi Abba. He went and sat by the doorway of Rabbi Abba. When the maidservant was pouring out the wastewater, some of the drips of the water fell on his head. They have made me like the garbage dump. He said about the pasuk, so he turned it into a positive and said that both in Tehillim, it also says it in Tefillat Chana, which is, the desperately poor will be raised up from the garbage heaps to become the heads. So again, here he's saying about himself, even though now he's at the bottom of the barrel, hopefully this will lead to something good. Shama Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba heard Rabbi Yirmiyah saying this outside. Nafik la'ape. He went out. Amarle. Ashta tzricha le'meipak adateich. Now I have to remove your concerns about me. Meaning that I now have to seek your forgiveness because of what just happened to you, because you came to plead with me, to beseech me, to forgive you. You should humble yourself and importune your friends. So do over here. Just because I was the one who was offended, and now you came, but now that you have put yourself in such a position, I see that you're serious about getting forgiveness, and you were, in a sense, mistreated because you had the garbage dumped on you. Now I have to seek your forgiveness. I have to humble myself, first of all, and grant you forgiveness, but also seek your forgiveness now because you were mistreated in this process. When he used to have an issue with an individual, he used to walk back and forth in front of him, make himself available, so that he would come and pacify him. Meaning that the individual would see him there and it would remind him that he has to come to Rabbi Zeira to ask forgiveness. So Rabbi Zeira wanted to facilitate the ability of the individual to ask for forgiveness. He made it easy. He appeared before him and he gave him the chance, the opportunity to do it, rather than making it difficult for the individual. Rav Avalei Milta Bahadehu Tabcha, he had an issue with this butcher who had done something wrong to Rav. This butcher did not show up in Erev Yom HaKippurim to ask Rav for forgiveness. Amar Ihu, Rav said about himself, Ezel Ano Lefiusei Le. Let me go and appease him, and maybe then he will do what's right. And that sometimes you have to facilitate the person who needs to ask forgiveness by you yourself humbling yourself to show them how it's done, and to show them what they should be doing. So you shouldn't be an achzari and hold out and force the individuals to come to you, but you should make it easy for them to ask forgiveness by, first of all, humbling yourself, appearing before them, and even in some senses, asking them for forgiveness as if you've done something wrong to them. Pagabe Rav Huna, Rav Huna is a Talmid of Rav, bumps into him, Amalei, Lehei Vazilmar, where's my Rebbe going now? Amalei, if you say the Planyo, I'm going to appease this individual, the butcher. Amar Izal Abba, the Mikdil Nafsho. He says, Rav, who is named, known as Abba, is going to kill someone right now. Azal Vekami Lave, he went there and stood before the butcher. Havayoti Vekapali Resha. He was splintering or chopping up the skull of an animal. Dali Eine Vechazio. He looked up and he saw Rav standing there. Amalei Abba, Adzio Litli Milto Badech. Says, Abba, you go. I have nothing to say to you. I mean, that he wasn't going to seek any forgiveness. He was not going to apologize to Rav. So while he was splintering or chopping up this skull, Ishtamed Garma, a bone splintered out, Machia Bikoe hit him in the throat, Bikatli, and killed him. And basically what Rav Huna had said was coming to come true, because Rav Huna understood that the butcher was not going to humble himself and act appropriately with Rav. And that was going to result in him dying because of the stature of Rav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Min HaShemayim, they were going to take care of this butcher. Rav, have a pasuk sidra kameh derabi. Rav was saying over a parsha, he was reading Mikra, Shel Nevi'im, or Ktuvim before Rabbi. Ayil ata Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia came along, these are all Talmidim of Rabbi. Rav being the youngest of the Talmidim. Rav learned before Rabbi, before he went off to Bavel. So Rabbi Chia comes, who is Rav's uncle. Hadul Reisha, he started over again. Ayol Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara enters. Hadul Reisha, he started over again. Ata Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. Rabbi's son, Rabbi Shimon, shows up. Hadul Reisha, he started again. Ata Rabbi Chanina, B'Rabbi Chamo, then came in. Amrei Kulei Hai Nehadar V'Nezel. He says, again, the fifth time, we're going to go back to the beginning. Lo Hadar, he didn't go back. Ikpid Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina was makpid on the fact that he didn't show the proper kavod towards Rabbi Chanina. He had gone back for all these other chachamim, and for Rabbi Chanina, he didn't do that. Alza Rav Legabe, Tleisar Male Yomi De Kiburim. Rav went before him for 13 Erev Yom Kippurs, Velo Yifayis, and he did not accept his apology. Veheche Avid Ochi. How did Rav keep going back 13 times? Vama Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Ko, amivakesh, matomi chavero. Ayivakesh, meni yoter meshlosh pami. You're only supposed to ask 3 times. After 3 times, you're supposed to walk away and not continue to beseech the individual. Mar says, Rav Shiny. Now you can read this one of two ways. Rav Shiny, the way Rashi reads it is that Rav is different. Rav, meaning the Talmud Chochem Rav, is different because he went lifni meshuat adin, and therefore he kept asking. others, and the way the halacha is paskin is Rav Shaini. When it's your Rebbe, you have to act differently. When it's your Rebbe, you have to keep asking, even if you go past three times, because it's the obligation of the Talmud to placate the Rebbe, and he must continue to go even past that point, even if Nimi Shur Dadin. Rabbi Chanina, Hechi Avid Ochi. Okay, now we understand why Rav did it, but Rabbi Chanina, how could he be so stubborn and refuse to grant Rav the forgiveness? Person who easily forgives and lets things drop off and isn't makpid and does not hold a grudge, Hashem acts the same way towards them, midah keneged midah. Just like they don't hold a grudge against the individual and they forgive people easily, Hashem does the same for them. Ela Rabbi Chanina chalma chazile. The Rav de zakfua b'digla. Rabbi Chanina had a dream in which Rav was hung up or standing up like a palm tree. Ugmiri and Evan Misora, the chol de zakfua b'digla, if they hang him up on a palm tree, Reisha Havi, he becomes the Rosh Yeshiva. Amar Shmaminah by the Meved Reshuta. He's going to end up being the leader here. Rav is going to be a great Rosh Yeshiva. So v'lo yifayis. So he wasn't willing to accept Rav's apologies. Ke'eche de lezev legamar arayta b'bavel. So they should go off to Bavel. They were found in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, Rabbi says, should take over as the Rosh Yeshiva after he passes away. And now Rabbi Chanina bar Chama says, if Rav becomes the Rosh Yeshiva, that means I'm done. I'm going to die. So if Rav becomes Rosh Yeshiva, that means it's imminent, my death. If I accept his apology and then he stays here, that means my time is limited. So he says, I'm not going to accept his apology. That way he'll end up leaving and going to Bavel, and he'll be the Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel, and I'll remain the Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And that way he won't shorten my life. As Rashi says, Amar Edchei Me'ocho, I'll push him away from here, Yivrach the Bavel, Mipanai, because of me, V'sham Yeh Rosh, V'oni Dachin Lamut B'Shvilo, and there I won't be forced to die because of him. Similar to a story of Rabbi and Rav Yosef, that Rav Yosef knew from a Chaldai, from astrologer, that he was going to become Rosh Yeshiva, but then he would die after 2.5 years. So he, instead of becoming Rosh Yeshiva, allows Rabbi to become the Rosh Yeshiva for 22 years, in order to give him that extra time so that he wouldn't pass away. He knew that as soon as he became Rosh Yeshiva, he would die. So in order to prevent that, he allowed Rabbi to come to Rosh Yeshiva before him. So here it's the opposite, where Rabbi Chanina prevents Rabbi from becoming the Rosh Yeshiva because he knew that that would be his imminent death. And therefore he pushes Rabbi to go off to Bavel by not forgiving him and not of making him feel comfortable in Eretz Yisrael. Tan Rabbanan, mitzvat vidui erev Yom HaKippurim in Hashecha. The mitzvah of vidui is on Erev Yom Kippurim at night, meaning once Yom Kippurim is there. Aval, amru chachamim. The chachamim still said, yidvadeh kodem sheyochal v'yishteh. First of all, there's a person who say vidui before he eats and drinks in the Suda Mafseket, shema titaref da'ato b'suda. Because maybe he will lose himself in his Suda. Rashi says, mitoch shechrut, he'll get drunk, and he will therefore not be able to do the vidui properly afterwards. So we do it beforehand. We're all more familiar with the other reason that's given, which is maybe something will go wrong in the Suda, and he will die in the Suda, therefore he does the vidui beforehand. Even though he does a vidui before the Suda Mafseket, then he should be mitvadeh achar shiuchal v'yishteh. Should do another vidui right afterwards. Maybe something went wrong in the Suda. He did something wrong, or he ate something wrong in the Suda, therefore he should do another vidui afterwards. Now our practice is to daven mincha prior to the Suda Mafseket and to say vidui then. The Ramban and other Rishonim are also very adamant about making another vidui prior to Yom HaKippurim. Not at Ma'ariv and Yom HaKippurim, but prior to Yom HaKippurim. Therefore, the Briskers were very careful to try to say Tfilat Zacha and say a vidui along with that, so that would act as the vidui that is described over here. Now, this does have implications in terms of a person that comes back from, whether they've been in the army, whether it's something else, and they're released right before Yom HaKippurim. And now they have a choice, whether to daven mincha with vidui, or to eat Suda Mafseket. The question is, which comes first? That might have to do with this machloket as to when the Ikar vidui is. Is the Ikar vidui before mincha time, or after mincha time? According to those many of the Rishonim, the Ikar vidui is actually after the Suda. The one before is just because maybe something will go wrong. So should you eat first in order to do the vidui afterwards? Or you should say vidui first and then only eat the Suda Mafseket? Which vidui is more important? That is talui in this machloket Rishonim as to when the most appropriate vidui is and which one is secondary. Is the most appropriate one before mincha and the one afterwards is only because something might go wrong in the Suda? Or is it really the one afterwards that is the main vidui? And we do the one before it because maybe he'll choke or something will go wrong in the Suda. Depending which vidui you think is more important will determine the order in which you should do things. That's number one. Number two is, if you can only do one or the other, eating or saying vidui, That comes back to a question we discussed before about the mitzvah of achilah on Erev Yom HaKippurim. How important is that mitzvah in connecting to Yom HaKippurim? And is that mitzvah more important than the vidui itself that happens on Erev Yom HaKippurim, which is only an institution derabanan? It would depend if you think Suda is deoraita or derabanan. And if you think it's only derabanan, then how does that weigh against the vidui that the Rabbanan instituted? Even though he has already done a vidui at Marv time, he should do it again in the morning. Shacharit itvadeh b'musaf. Even though he's done vidui during Shacharit, he should do it at Musaf. B'musaf itvadeh b'mincha. And he does vidui in Musaf, he should still do it at Mincha. B'mincha itvadeh b'ni'ilah. Even though he's done vidui at Mincha time, he should also do it at Ni'ilah. V'cheinecha nomro. Where do you say vidui when you're davening? Yachid achar tfilato. Like we do, our practice is that after we finish the Shmon Esther Mavreich et Amo Yisrael Bashalom, we say Yul Ratzon Imrei Fi Ve'Egyon Nebilfenech Hashem Tzuri V'Galei, and then we launch into the vidui. It's after we daven Shmon Esrei. Shleich Tzibor Omro Be'emtza. But in Chazorat HaShatz, when we do it as part of the Birkat HaYom. Before we finish off the Brocha of the Yom, before we get to Ritzei, we say the vidui as part of the Tfilat Shmon Esrei of the Chazorat HaShatz. May Amar. What is the vidui that you say? Amarav, Ata Yudea Razei Olam. So that is part of the vidui that we have today, that is, we are familiar with it, that you say Ata Razei Olam. Shmuel Amar, Mimam Keil Alev, Rashi says it's a tefillah that they had that we don't say. Flevi Amar, Torahcha Ketuv Leimor, in your Torah it's written, and as Rashi explains here, that means, Kibi Yom Hazeh Yechaper Alechem Letaretchem, that we quote the Pasuk, that Yom HaKippurim is the day of Kapara, which we also do. Yochan Amar Ribon Ha'olamim, Ki Lo Al Tzidkutenu Anachnu Mapilim, that we don't rely on our own righteousness, but rather on God. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ki Avonotenu Rabu Milimnot, Chatotenu Atzmu Misafer, that our sins are too great to count, and we have nothing to stand before you, God, with. Rabbi Nuna Amar Elokai, Ad Shelo Notzarti Eni Kedai, until I was created, I wasn't worthy. Achshav Shenotzarti, Ilo Lo Notzarti, and now that I was created, it's as if I wasn't created. Afar Ani Bechayai, I am like dust of the earth in my lifetime. Kal v'chomer mitati, certainly when I pass away. Hare ani lefanecha kikli malei busha uchlima. I'm before you like a utensil that is full of embarrassment and regret. Here at Soma lefanecha shloach ta. Please Hashem, be it that I will not sin. Umashachatati, mirok berachamecha we have harabim. That what I have sinned already you should wipe away with your great mercy. Avaloya de isurim, not through punishments or difficulties. V'ainu viduya derava dekula shato. This is what Rava said all year round as his vidui. With Rav Nuna Zuta b'yom kippurim, and Rav Nuna Zuta said this only on Yom Kippurim, and that's what we do at the end of our vidui. When before we get to Elokai Nitzor, we say this Elokai ad shelo nutzarti, which is a beautiful tefillah to remind ourselves. It says Elokai ad shelo nutzarti eni kedai. Until I was born, it wasn't my time. That's very important for people to understand. Everybody says, "Oh, I wish I was living then or then or then or then." But the truth is that Hashem has us designated to live in a specific time and a specific period. Our mission in life is at the time that we live. And therefore we're born at a certain time and we live at a certain time because that's where Hashem wants us to be and that's where Hashem thinks we can make an impact. And that's what it means. Elokai ad shelo notzarti eni kedai. Until I was born, my time hadn't come. I don't have the opportunity to make a difference. But now, achshav shenotzarti, now I'm finally created, I'm here. Hilo lo notzarti, and yet I'm not making a difference. And that's what we're saying to Hashem. That we want to do right, we want to carry out our mission, and in carrying out our mission, we have to recognize that we're born at a certain time, we're born with certain kochot, and we have to utilize them to do the mission that God sent us down here, and to make a difference in this world, to be mekadesh shem shemayim. Amar mar zutra, lo amran elo dulo amar, aval anachnu chatanu. You only have to say all these viduim if you didn't say this phrase, which is, that we have sinned. Aval anachnu chatanu, but if you say aval anachnu chatanu, Tulo tzorich. Then you don't have to say anything more, meaning that that is the basic catchphrase, which is a person says that we have sinned. That is the basic vidui they have to say. And therefore, even people who don't say vidui three times when they say slichot, they should say aval anachnu chatanu three times in order to be as if they had said vidui three times, even though they don't say the ashamnu bagadnu three times, like in the Nusach Ashkenaz versus the Nusach Sfarad. Damar Baram Duri, Abakamina Kamed Shmuel. I was standing before Shmuel, Babi Yotiv, and he was sitting. Vichimata Shlichot Tzibura, and when the Shlichot Tzibura came and said, Amar Aval Anachnu Chatanu, Kam Mekam, he got up, Amar Shmamina, Igar Vidoi Hayhu. That's it, he's done. So he saw from Shmuel's activity that he sat there and he got up once he had said that, that was the end of the Vidoi, and there was nothing else that needed to be said after that. Not Hotom. We have a Mishnah in Tanit, which we'll get to when we do Masechet Tanit. There's three times a year, or three time periods, when the Kohanim duchen four times during the day. B'shacharit, b'musaf, b'mincha, u'minilat shi'arim. Shacharit, musaf, mincha, and ni'ilah. Ve'elu hein. What are these three periods of time? The Shlosha Parakim, b'taniyot. And the taniyot for gishamim. These are 24-hour fasts. These are the major fasts for the gishamim. U'memamadot. When the representatives of Klal Yisrael used to come up, they had different mamadot, just like they have the Mishmarot for the Kohanim. They had 24 regions of Eretz Yisrael where the people used to come up and they were representatives of Klal Yisrael when the korbanot are being brought. So in the cities, they used to gather together and do tefillah, and they would send out a parties to Yerushalayim who'd also fast and read from the Torah and be there present when the korbanot were brought on behalf of the tzibur. So those mamadot also, they're fasting all day. They also duchen over Yom HaKippurim and on Yom Kippur. Now the problem, as the Gemara will discuss over there, is that both the taniyot and the mamadot don't have a musaf. So there's no four times a day, it's three times a day. So the Gemara there says that, well, if they had a musaf, it would have been four times a day, but they don't. So Yom Kippurim is actually the only time when you duchen four times during the day, because there you have musaf and you have ni'ilah. But it does sound from here that there is a ni'ilah that was associated with these taniyot of gishamim. Again, we'll deal with that when we get to Masechet Tanit. There's also an important Tosafot in Masechet Tanit that mentions that even though here it says that ni'ilah and the duchenim applies to Yom HaKippurim, on a Tanit, when we have a fast day at mincha time, we duchen only when mincha is very late in the day, he says. When it's very late in the day and it looks like tefillat ni'ilah, then we duchen. And that's the practice in Eretz Yisrael. The practice in Eretz Yisrael is that in the Ashkenazi communities where they duchen every day, that on a fast day, if you daven mincha k'tano late in the day, that the Kohanim duchen. If you daven mincha g'dola, they do not duchen. The Sfaradim do not have that practice. The Kohanim duchen no matter what at mincha time. And the Chazon Ish was against this practice of the Tosafot and the way the Mishnah Berurah paskin, that you should only duchen late in the day. He thinks that you should duchen any time there is mincha. Because the truth is, the reason that you duchen at mincha time is because there ain't shichrut. There is no drinking, there's no problem of the Kohanim being intoxicated, and therefore they can duchen. And even when you daven mincha gdola, you say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu. You say the bracha mishuleshet b'Torah. You say that tefillah, indicating that you would duchen. So he says, if that's the case, then you should duchen then. And that is a practice in some Ashkenazi communities in Eretz Yisrael to duchen any time that it's mincha on a fast day. Although the more common practice is only to duchen when you daven mincha k'tano late in the day. All right, we're going to stop over here because the remainder deals with ni'ilah until the end of the Masechta. We'll continue that in tomorrow's shiur, where we can discuss ni'ilah more broadly in tomorrow's daf.